Hey, what's up, everybody? Summer's coming, and that means the OVMF's concert series featuring the music of The Force Awakens is right around the corner. You hear that in the background? Yeah, that's not John Williams. That's the OVMF hard at work, under the direction of conductor Jocelyn LeBlanc. We've got a pair of tickets to the sold-out June 19th show in Montreal, and we want to send you. To enter, just head over to our iTunes page and leave us a quick review. Then email me, kyle@tumblingsaber.com. Let me know that you left a review, and that's it, you're in. We'll announce the winner on the May 30th episode of the podcast, so stay tuned. And now let's get on with the show. Everybody, welcome back to episode 24 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. I am Kyle, your host, and with me, as always, are the two best co-pilots from the galaxy far, far away. I've got Corey here, and I've also got James. What's going on, boys?
How you doing, my brother?
I wanted to see how screwed up I can make this by getting you both to talk at the same time.
Yeah, perfect start.
So, you guys having a good weekend?
Excellent. Yeah, it was a lazy weekend. Weather-wise, again, so
that's going to change soon. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
spent some time with the family. Second Mother's Day sort of celebrations. We went to see tulips in capital city of Canada.
How is that sort of a temporary thing? Because it seems like that's just always on.
No, it's temporary. I mean,
For as long as a tulip will hold its bloom, I guess
that's it. They got a few weeks, and it's on.
Well, it's funny you should mention it. We were just talking about it, but I was thinking about going to Ottawa this weekend, our nation's capital, for their Comic Con, because Billy Dee Williams was there, as was Alan Tudyk, and a bunch of other guests that I wouldn't mind seeing. But this being a Star Wars show, those are the two guys that I would have specific interest in. Ultimately, I dragged my heels as I do on most things in my life, and. Turned out I just kind of sat around the house all weekend.
Did you watch The Kingsman?
The what now? No. You know, I was talking to my wife about it. I'm like, this is so ridiculous. I've been trying to watch this list of movies that just keeps growing by the week, and we don't do it. But the answer is just very simple. It's just we sit and watch our shows on Friday and Saturday nights where we hit our PVR and go through what we missed over the last week. So now that the shows are hitting their season finales, it won't be long before it becomes more movie season for us, and that's when I'll really hit that movie list. And I said The Kingsman is at the top of that list.
That's fair.
Yeah, me too.
But it's kind of irritating. I wish, in some ways, I wish I wasn't such a slave to the screen. I think. Our lives would be much better if we were out doing healthier pursuits, not sitting on the couch. But damn, man, there's so many good shows on TV, so many good movies now. It's impossible not to want to sit and just veg out and consume all this stuff.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was having dinner with my brother who watches a bunch of networks or cable stuff that I don't have. I just don't watch a lot of TV. I basically watch sports and sports only. So that's what my package is set up to give me, like TSN and ESPN and et cetera, but I don't get HBO or any of the big networks. So I know about shows, but I don't watch shows. And I don't know how we find the time. I don't know how you guys find the time. There's just so much that people want to watch. But I don't know how you guys find the time to do it.
Anyway, guys, James, you were in Ottawa, and while you were there, the maker, the man who made all of this possible, George Lucas, turned 72. And aside from smelling the tulips and having a second Mother's Day, how did you celebrate George Lucas's birthday?
Well, first of all, I saw that action figure picture you posted online. I hadn't seen that one before, so that sort of got me doing some digging around through old Star Wars toys, pictures of old stuff that I used to have and stuff I didn't have and coveted. So I spent a good, 20 minutes. Ended up, of course, in Transformers and G.I. Joes and a whole bunch of stuff. Even I couldn't remember the name of the purple smelling thing from Strawberry Shortcake. Do you guys remember?
I remember the show. I don't remember the name of that particular creature.
Yeah.
The viewers are, I'm sure, all on the edge of their seats. The purple pie maker. But yeah, so I spent a bunch of time looking through a whole bunch of childhood stuff. I guess that's what my George Lucas inspiration was for his 72nd birthday, was nostalgia.
Yeah, now I saw everybody was posting pictures of Lucas on set or off set and looking very stately, and what different picture can I put up of George Lucas? And I thought about the George Lucas action figure. And so I quickly Googled that and threw that up there. But I have that figure, and it's one of, I would say it's a top three figure in my collection. Anyway, Corey, what did you do for George Lucas's birthday? Anything special?
Not too much, really, but, you know, James had sent me a link earlier, I think it was Friday. It was a montage of basically Star Wars footage of all space fighting all the time, the highway to the danger zone.
Yeah, sent to Kenny Loggins. I sent it to Kyle, too. It was great.
Dude, it was so good. It made my day, and I've watched it, like, at least four times since then. Like, today, I had to clean the house and stuff, and I'm, like, sitting here, and I'm, like, trying to get motivation, and, yeah, I just watched it. I got goosebumps watching it. I was like, it's so well choreographed. It pumped me up.
You know, guys, just a quick aside here. I've got the game on in the background here. The St. Louis Blues and San Jose Sharks. Game one of the conference final. And we have a lot of listeners from the San Jose area. And I hope they're watching too right now. But man, there are some freaky beards on that team.
Yeah.
Brent Burns and Jumbo Joe Thornton. The beards they've got going are out of control. I mean, James, like, you would fit in well on this team.
Yeah, no, I got some pretty strong beard game, but you're not wrong. There's a lot of mane going on.
Wow. I mean, if you look at hockey cards from the 70s and 80s, you see a lot of guys who, when you flip over the card and check out their date of birth, they're 20 years old, but they look 38 years old. That's just the 70s and 80s for you, but these guys look like absolute wizards. It's crazy. Anyway, back to Star Wars and George Lucas's birthday. So we celebrated his birthday, although nobody else in the house knew about it except for me. We celebrated by watching the movie he had basically nothing to do with in The Force Awakens. And we didn't watch it once, but we watched it twice this weekend.
Cool.
And that was by request of once it was Harley who pushed for it. The second time it was Carter, little two-year-old that wanted to see that again, and I'm a little bit scared because he is taking a real shine to Kylo Ren.
So funny you say that, Mike. I also have two, like Kyle, my second is a boy, and he likes the bad guys always. He hasn't seen Star Wars specifically yet, but he always gravitates to the bad guy. Whoever the bad guy is, that's what he wants to see more of. So I'm up about that, Kyle.
So either we can be afraid for our lives, or if we can imagine he'll grow up to be a Barney Stinson character who roots for the Empire.
I'll take Barney Stinson. That guy, he did all right.
He did all right for himself.
Nice suits.
Great suits.
Yeah. Listen to this, Kyle. On Friday night, you know, I got home with my son. We were talking about Star Wars, and he said that he wanted to watch it as well, and he hasn't seen any of the movies yet, you know? And I wanted him to start at A New Hope and all that, and then I was like, you know, I don't have the Blu-ray player right now. So anyway, I set up my laptop, and he has a Star Wars tent in his room. So, like, we went in his tent, and we probably watched about the first 30 minutes, but by that time it was, like, close to 8:30 at night, and he was kind of, like, just so out of it, you know? But he definitely really liked it. He really liked Finn. And I was so happy that, you know, it was kind of the bad timing because I wanted to spring it on him in a different way, but at least he got his first little taste in movies, but he kept asking me where Ezra was, and he was still very confused.
And that just goes to show, right, that for a lot of kids, the animated stuff is now is their entryway into Star Wars.
Yeah, big time.
Sort of strange for us. It's weird for us to think about as grown men who grew up with Star Wars, the original trilogy, but there are kids who are growing up with either the Clone Wars or Rebels as their first entry point. So anyway, a trio of stars from The Force Awakens showed up in Ireland today, or this weekend. Maybe it was even Friday. I don't know. What the hell do I know?
Right?
Yeah. I'm wondering, did you guys, I didn't talk about this rumor last week because I thought it was stupid. I didn't even want to go there. But now with Daisy Ridley and Mark Hamill and Adam Driver all on those sets, although Adam Driver has yet to be spotted on set, according to Blabba the Hutt, who actually are located in Dublin, and they're hot on the trail of this stuff. Adam Driver has yet to be spotted on set. But he's there. He's in Ireland, so you can only imagine that he's going to be on set at some point. I think that the rumor that popped up last week about Luke's Force abilities, I think there may be something to that rumor, because it looks like Kylo Ren is going to crash the party.
Well, I got a quick question for you about that. When you were talking about his Force abilities, are you referring to the thing where it basically said that he's in one of those little domes, and he's able to kind of...
Wait, whoa, earmuffs. James, are you willing to hear this?
Yeah, I'm good. I've been sort of wondering if I was going to tune out, but so far I'm okay.
All right, continue, Corey.
Basically, yeah, supposedly there's a rumor where I think all three of them are in one of these little domes, and Luke's able to kind of, like, just make this thing explode with his mind. Is that what you're meaning about his Force ability?
What do you mean, dome?
Those little beehive-looking huts that we saw, or that have been spotted, you know, not only at the end of The Force Awakens, but also in a lot of the Episode 8 set photos.
Right.
So the rumor is that there's some sort of conversation that takes place inside one of these huts. Luke doesn't like the direction of the conversation, or maybe Kylo Ren sort of makes his wires touch, and he explodes the hut using his Force powers. And I wasn't sure what to make of that rumor at the time, but I completely dismissed it to the point where I didn't even want to talk about it here. But it looks like there might be something to that rumor if all three of those people are on set.
Yeah, definitely. You see the photos of them getting off the plane together and stuff. I actually just, like, I was Googling something right before the show, like, in regards to this, like, recent Star Wars news, and there was an article released, like, not about 3 hours ago, saying that they had already finished shooting at Malinhead, and that, like, they had just gotten there, no?
Well, there's several shooting locations in Ireland now, yeah. So you got to keep them all straight in your head.
Yeah.
Which I have not. I don't know. I just know that Ireland is hogging everything from us. We love you, Ireland. Can you imagine? Like, just think about it for a second. I thought about it today. I'm complaining that Ireland is hogging all this great Episode 8 location stuff. And then I thought about what would happen if it came to Montreal and how the somebody here would ruin it. And I'm not talking about fans or the public. I'm talking about...
I know who would ruin it. The OFLQ would ruin it.
The government would somehow ruin it, right? They would put all kinds of red tape down.
They'd overtax them or something, and they'd just pick up and leave. They'd be like, you know what? Quebec, F you. We're out of here.
We're done here. Bye-bye.
Then they'd go to Ireland.
I would endorse that move.
we're better to shoot. We're better to shoot, man. So beautiful.
That's a big planet, right? This blue marble of ours has got a lot of good-looking locales.
Definitely. That's definitely one of them.
So it happened again this week, and I think by now the people that are holding on to Snoke as Plagueis, you're either all in with this, that you're ready to die on this mountain, or you have to just say, okay, fine, I give up. It's not. Because somebody, I think it probably happens daily in the life of poor Pablo Hidalgo, but he had a pretty convincing takedown of the rumor. And he had a little Twitter, not a Twitter rant, but he shot it down hard. There is no way that Snoke and Plagueis are one and the same person. So somebody had asked him, Pablo, are you saying that Sidious said Plagueis is dead, or are you saying he's actually dead? And his reply was, Sidious killed Plagueis, ascending to master, as is the way of the Sith. And, of course, that wasn't good enough for some people. You didn't answer the question. Is he actually dead, or does Sidious think he's dead? I said Sidious killed Plagueis. He killed him. Killed, as in to kill, like there was killing. you can hear the... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Legal ease.
Well, yeah, you can see the fans kind of not satisfied with the language being used, and now and
it's too carefully chosen. It's too specific.
But I think that last one was that he killed him. He's dead. He's dead. He's killed him. Killed. There was
killing. After he says he is dead.
Well, the is dead part that I think is the most tangible line in the whole thing, because killed doesn't mean anything if the guy can come back to life. Killed just means he was dead. But is dead is different.
I think we can turn the page on this, that it's not the same guy. It's done with. There's no, I don't know. I feel like I'm becoming a broken record talking about it, but.
No, it's a moot point from the beginning.
Yeah, there's too, you can't hang your hat on this theory.
No, I mean, if you're still hanging your hat on it, it's just because you're either stubborn or you think you know something that nobody else does.
Yeah, or you created the theory and you're sticking to it.
Yeah, that's it. There's no other real tangible reason.
I kind of got a question in regards to that. Do you think we'll see maybe Plagueis or possibly even maybe, like, if we were to see a Force ghost in this movie, aside from, you know, Yoda, who else do you think we might get a chance to see?
Well, Anakin or Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Anakin makes sense. More than Obi-Wan. Maybe not. Yeah. Obi-Wan as well.
No, I don't think we'll see. I doubt we'll see Obi-Wan, but it's possible. I think the power rankings, I think, go Yoda, Anakin, Obi-Wan.
What about from the dark side?
Well, from what I know, Sith are not able to manifest themselves as Force ghosts. It's not a dark side thing. I don't know if that's still that used to be the case with Legends. But I don't know if it's still a canon thing. But yeah, as far as I know, the dark side Force users cannot appear as Force ghosts. So that's that. Tough week, though. If you were a Marvel, Disney sort of Star Wars fanboy, it was a tough week because Agent Carter was canceled. The spin-off show featuring, I forget what it was called, but it was going to be the show with Mockingbird. And that other guy, whose name escapes me now, that show's been dropped. And I think there's petitions going around to save both, specifically aimed at Netflix. And
yeah, but in 2016, our petition, the fact that a petition exists mean anything?
It's, no.
You know, so every group that has a, you know, someone who can start it up, and you know, if there's only a few people who put their name on it, the
like a cult following.
Yeah.
No, there's no, absolutely not. There's. I think there must come to a point where if you get 100,000 signatures to something, maybe then they'll start to pay attention. But
I know it's happened a couple of times, but there's been some pretty popular shows canceled that, you know, they weren't able to bring back.
Yeah, I'm sure it's happened multiple times, and it's the end of the line, right? Whether somebody's backed out or the network is fed up, or there's logistically it's too difficult or too expensive to produce.
I think you touched on something there that people don't realize. It's not always about necessarily just ratings. There's relationships involved and bad blood, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes these things get canceled, you know, and there's just nothing you can do about it.
Like Firefly.
Well, I don't know why the reasons why Firefly was canceled.
From what I gather with it being Fox who produced it, I just kind of feel like it was probably just too expensive for them. And they didn't give it, they just screwed the whole thing up. They didn't even air it properly, like chronologically. It was so good though.
So yeah, anyway, specifically here for us, I don't, James, you don't read the comics, but Corey does, but he's way behind. And I'm just a shade behind, but Darth Vader was one of the two ongoings at Marvel. And it was selling quite well, doing quite well, but they've decided to pull the plug on it. And it sort of came out of the blue. Nobody had expected this. Not that I saw, anyway. I wrote a piece on that went up on the site today, proposing some ideas for replacement. Because if there's one thing we know in business, is that you're not going to kill a moneymaker if you don't have something else to put into its place. So something is cooking at Marvel. And if they're killing Darth Vader, it's because they've got a plan for something else. And I started thinking about, well, since the announcement was made, what series might we see? What makes sense, or what would we like to see? It's sort of an open-ended question here. Is there any, James, not necessarily thinking about a comic book, but is there any character or storyline that you think deserves more treatment?
Well, first I'll preface by saying I read your blog post, so you put ideas in my head already. I liked your idea about Luke's time between Empire and Jedi. I think you said there were probably 5 or 6 years there.
No, it's just 1 year there.
Oh, was it one?
Yeah, between Empire and Jedi, it's just a quick 1 year turnaround.
But when I was reading through the post, I realized that there's no shortage of ideas. You proposed a whole bunch, and I could come up with a couple more of my own too. For example, I really like Qui-Gon. He's sort of a character I feel like was, I don't know.
Made for you?
Yeah, well, yeah. Except for he's like 6'7". But, I don't know, I always liked him. I always thought Liam Neeson played a really cool Jedi to begin with, but I would have liked to have maybe known more, so I could come up with a couple storylines that involve him and or Kenobi. There's a lot of lost years there. All to say that I think there's so many storylines that could be explored that it doesn't surprise me that they could be canceling Vader and starting up with something new.
Yeah. Well, Qui-Gon plays into one of the suggestions I have. I think that I think it would be great to see something from the prequel era, pre-prequel era, with Qui-Gon under Count Dooku's wing. I'd love to see that fleshed out in comic book form. Because I personally love the Count Dooku villain. I love how Christopher Lee played him, but I just thought he was criminally underserved in the prequels. He only showed up like 2/3 of the way through Attack of the Clones and was dead 20 minutes into Revenge of the Sith. And I thought this guy was a magnetic screen presence that just didn't get enough service, as far as I'm concerned. So I'd like to see him when he was still a Jedi. Maybe not training, but definitely partnering with Qui-Gon. I think that would make a pretty cool duo, and we'd get a lot of unique insights to the state of the galaxy, to the Force itself. Anyway, that was my thought there. I've got others, which I guess we'll get to. But Corey, anything that you think they should put to a comic book panel?
I don't know if it's, again, necessarily like comic book, but I still always want to go like way further back in time. Like, I really want to establish what happened, like, years, and I want to start almost from the beginning, you know, like where did it all start?
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but young Maz and young Yoda run into each other in, like, weird little people school.
Like, yeah.
They're both bad.
Even before that, I want to go way back, like, 10,000, however long Jedi have existed, you know, I want to know where it all began, how it all started, and the first Jedi-Sith battle, kind of, you know? I've always been interested in that. But I think the more pertinent question is kind of to ask why they're canceling the series if it's doing so well. Because it's critically acclaimed, right? And, you know.
Yeah, it was selling well. It was doing well. I think it was just sort of a decision.
Maybe they have artistic integrity. And the series just has come to fruition, you know?
Yeah, like I think they've told the story that they want to tell. And there's not much left for them to say about Darth Vader. By the time it's all said and done, it'll be 4 pretty meaty arcs. And I think, you know, over 2 years, that's a pretty substantial run.
Yeah, I agree. I was kind of trying to look at it in a more optimistic way, saying, like, you know, maybe they got something planned that's going to lead into something else, or...
Well, yeah. Star Wars has been around for just about 40 years, and Darth Vader has sold well no matter what. Through those 40 years, he's been... You put his face on something, it sells. So while I am surprised that they're pulling the plug on this issue, it doesn't mean that he won't be in whatever they plan next.
Yeah.
And if we think ahead to December with Rogue One coming, I would not be shocked if they did a Rogue One comic, which would feature, to some degree, Darth Vader. I don't think they would necessarily go into movie territory, but it would be a comic about how the dominoes start falling and how things start clicking into place for the movie.
Then we could find out how he got in that back to tank.
Well, that would be for the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd go there with the comic. But that's one thing I think is, of all the suggestions I listed, I think that's probably a probable one. I think they want to milk Rogue One for all it's worth. There's also that novel coming out in the fall, which I think comes or which directly impacts the movie. Anyway, there are other ideas I have here. I going back to the whole Plagueis Sidious thing, I would love to see that played out in a comic book. I would like to see them just make as grisly a death for Plagueis as possible. So everybody would say, yeah, he's not coming back from that, is he? That's just me.
I'd like to see a nice one-off, just like, you know, a one-shot on Yoda, a day in Yoda's life on Dagobah, waiting.
I could be sort of misremembering this, but didn't Yoda go on some, like, mad adventure to recover something at some point? I'm being so vague. But isn't there a pretty cool Yoda story to tell about him going on an adventure with, I want to say, who was his apprentice besides Luke? Did he ever take on anyone else as a Padawan?
Oh, yeah. Everybody was his Padawan, I think, in a way.
So, like, you know what? I'm going to have to look it up and bring up this question again. I'm pretty sure, though, that there's, like, a really badass story where Yoda went, like, to recover something. And I'll come back with more next.
Well, I'm sure that story now, whatever it is that you're referring to, is probably considered legend and doesn't necessarily count because of,
well, absolutely, but I'm just saying, like, is that what he's referring to? Like, do you want to see him be, like, in action, or do you want to see old Yoda where he's hobbling around?
Well, I can kind of see something along the line. Like, I'd rather see kind of like old Yoda, but, you know, like him doing his thing on Dagobah, and then maybe like a probe droid kind of, you know, some kind of action has to happen, obviously, in the comic. It can't just be him, like, making some kind of, like, weird pterodactyl stew. But no, like, I don't know, just something cool. Like, just, you know, like a quick one-off, a quick little story arc that, you know, he just kind of finishes things off pretty quickly. Like, I feel bad for Yoda just having been there for God knows what, 15, 16 years waiting for Luke?
Longer than that. More like 20.
That's true, eh? My Empire, that's right.
About 23 years he's there.
Yeah, but how old is he?
Yoda, he's over 900.
So 20 years is like, you know, 15 minutes.
It's a drop in the bucket for him.
No big deal.
But it's his golden years too, you know? It's his twilight years.
Well, I'd imagine the climate on Dagobah is pretty conducive to anybody who has arthritis. And I'm sure at 900 years old, he's probably got some arthritic bones in him. And the climate there is probably not helping him too much.
No, agreed.
Yeah.
But I also think, finally here, I'll just wrap this part up by saying I think that they have a little bit of a golden goose in Ahsoka. And if they did an Ahsoka comic, I'd buy the hell out of that book. And I mentioned that on Twitter, and I got a few replies saying, oh my god, yes. Like, people just want Ahsoka badly right now. And I know there's a novel coming out this fall about here, but I think the appetite for her right now is pretty insatiable.
Yeah, I agree. And I think until we find out what happens at the end of, like, no one's going to let it go. No one is going to let it go after what we've seen at the end of Twilight of the Apprentice.
No, and they won't explore that in a comic. That's I'm willing to bet the farm on that. There's no way they go there in a comic.
No.
Whoa, slow down. You have a farm?
I wish I had a little farm.
I also wish I had a little farm.
Me too. I've always wanted a little farmette, a few chickens and stuff.
Yeah, that would be kind of nice, right? You just have little fields to grow some crops and a couple animals to do whatever it is you want to do with them.
All right, now it's getting weird. Like a hobbit more, though.
Yeah, eggs. Second breakfast.
Yeah, I could be down with that. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us. Well, I sort of did, but not this far.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, I guess we're just about done with the comics here, but all that to say is I think you put Ahsoka on anything right now and it sells like absolute hotcakes.
Yeah. I see you, but you're still on the lookout for that 6-inch black figure of her.
No, I got her.
You got it?
Yep. We found it and
online or?
Yes. Actually, we found it. It was an eBay auction, but the guy was local here in Montreal, so we saved ourselves a shipping fee.
You were driving 40 kilometers.
Well, no, he was downtown. My wife works downtown, so she did a little actually had it hand delivered by my wife, which I defy you to find a better service.
I won't even look.
No, I was so happy to get the figure, and I was like, yes, yes, yes. And then I don't display my Star Wars toys right now. There's just nowhere to put them, and I think it's a bit, like, tormenting the children who can look but don't touch. And so after the initial glee was over, Ahsoka is now safely locked away in my closet. where nobody can see her, including me.
Probably wise.
But I'm telling you, I have her. Actually, I put up a picture on our Instagram feed, just to prove it to the world, because I know everybody was waiting with bated breath to see if I had gotten her or not. All right, what else we got here? I still consider myself a video gamer, even though I haven't played one in coming up on 4 years. And when I say video game, I mean a console, PS4, whatever your console of choice is. The last time I played was close to Halloween of 2012, and I haven't really played a video game since.
The last time I played was on my PS2.
Oh, wow.
See, you're going back almost a decade.
Yep.
I thought Battlefront was going to be the game to get me not only to play a video game again, but to buy a PS4. And that didn't happen. A few reasons, I guess, or one big overarching reason is that although the quality of the game was really good, sort of the premise of it was not. Like, if you're not into multiplayer and online gaming, that was not the game for you. And I can't stand multiplayer. I don't like playing online games. I like to play story mode. I like to follow a storyline in a game. And this game didn't have that, so I skipped it. I saved myself several hundred dollars, and I'm going to hang out or hold on until I see what Battlefront 2 coming in 2017 might look like. And it looks like this game will have more of a story mode aspect to it, which intrigues me a lot more, because if you could combine the quality of the visuals and the sound effects and the feel of the game that Battlefront had with an actual story, I'm totally down, because don't forget, the video games are actual canon as well.
Is that, yeah, that's considered, story arcs and the video games are considered canon?
Everything they do now is considered canon.
Like, as of now, since Disney has it, or?
Correct.
Okay.
So it's important to say something like, the Lego Star Wars stuff is not canon. So if you see something in Lego Star Wars that, hey, that didn't happen in the movie, but, oh, does that inform the movie at all? No, it doesn't. The Lego Star Wars stuff does not. But as for, like, anything that's produced by Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, that kind of group, including the video games, yeah, man, that stuff counts. Which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I played Battlefront a few times. And, like, I'm on the same boat as you guys. I owned a PS3 for the longest time. And I had a whole bunch of games, and all I literally played was NHL 2012, 13, 14, and I stopped at 14, but that's all I ever played.
I played so much NHL, like, but even older, like, 90, 6, 7, 8, 9, turn of the twos. Oh my god, did we play a lot. Holy cow.
But video games are so fast-paced now, like, one of my buddies is a gamer. Like, he buys his TVs based around, like, how it's going to perform during his games, and it's getting harder, you know. I don't want to be out of it I want to be able to kick my son's butt when we're older. You know, if I don't get into it now, I don't think I will be able to.
No, if once your kid gets, or any of our kids, once they start playing video games, if that's the path we let them go down, by the time they're 8 years old, they will be whipping us silly.
Yeah, we're toast. Forget about it.
It's over.
Well, I just want to say, like, yeah, there's got to be some control in that. Like, don't let the kid veg out for hours, but give him a...
The control is you bring out the old, like, ColecoVision console and you kick his ass at the stuff he doesn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way this kid would touch me a Cuba or Zaxxon or...
Pong.
Just saying.
That sounds scary. So Corey, you sent me this news item, which I had missed. I hesitate to call it news, but it was about James Arnold Taylor, who did the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi in not just Clone Wars, but for also one quick segment in Star Wars Rebels. And he talked about whether or not he thought it was a good idea for Obi-Wan to come back. And I love the way he broke it down. He said, should he? Does he want him to? And does he think he will? I loved his answer that it doesn't make sense for Obi-Wan to come back in Rebels. I don't know if I agree with him there, but it makes what he has to say makes sense, where that Obi-Wan should just be on Tatooine babysitting Luke, more or less. To me, that makes sense.
Yeah, but he also said that Maul... I think it's the perfect setting for... Rebels would be the perfect setting, seeing as how Maul is still in the game.
Well, and that's just it. It's you know, without Ahsoka now, who else can they call on for help? Or who does anybody even know? I mean, I guess Rex knows that Obi-Wan was around, but does he know he actually survived? We don't know. Who knows about Obi-Wan?
I think Maul. If anyone's going to figure it out, it's going to be Maul.
And yeah, I think that is a worthy storyline to flesh out. But does it take the crew to Tatooine, or does it bring Obi-Wan out of hiding and into the conflict? I'm not sure what they would do there.
I would say bring them to Tatooine. Like, I don't think he's going to sacrifice leaving Tatooine. That's where he needs to be. Just like he'd said, he's babysitting. That's his responsibility.
You would have to think that if Darth Maul goes to Tatooine, that draws the attention of the Empire, and it draws them to Luke Skywalker and things as we know it.
That's why it's such a good storyline. Obi-Wan's going to have to walk a really fine line to make sure that no one finds out why he's actually there. Is he just hiding there? Is he protecting something?
Yeah, no, I think it would be easier to have them pull Obi-Wan out of hiding and get him off world. And yes, he would not be within earshot of Luke, but you could easily make the case that Obi-Wan would say, I had to get, with the imminent threat of Darth Maul, I had to get away from Tatooine just so that nobody stumbles upon Luke. But also, you know, so James Arnold Taylor said he doesn't think it makes sense, but he also said he would absolutely do it and would love to do the character again.
But I think overall he was basically saying that there's got to be something in the works for this character, and it doesn't make sense not to do something with this character. There's still a lot of meat on the bone, you know?
Yeah, there's still Obi-Wan stories to tell. Which format they come out in is absolutely up in the air. But like, let's ask this. Let's say that things change with Ewan McGregor. You know, he has said repeatedly that he'd love to do it. And now he's sort of walking back on those comments where he's now downplaying expectations. And he did so again recently, making it sound like, no, nothing to see here. And maybe there is nothing to see here, but he's also made it pretty clear that he would love to do it. So let's say Disney finally gets their act together with regards to Obi-Wan, and they decide to go ahead with it, but things have changed for Ewan McGregor. Is that a role that you recast? Or if Ewan McGregor doesn't want to do Obi-Wan, you just mothball the whole thing and you're done with it? James, what do you think?
It really depends when the movie is set. If it's set really close to the beginning of New Hope, then you could cast an older actor. But if it's set, you know, close to the end of Episode 3, then it sort of has to be Ewan McGregor, doesn't it?
I think in either scenario, it kind of has to be. I don't know how welcoming people would be to yet another Obi-Wan.
I think if it was 60-year-old Obi-Wan, they'd be okay with it.
Yeah, they go with Kenneth Branagh this time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was heavily rumored the first time around.
Yeah. But regardless, no matter what it is, obviously he's interested in doing it. He'd love to do it. And even if his schedule was conflicted, Disney would probably end up buying the studio that's already got him contract and be like, no, now he's doing Star Wars.
Well, I'm sure they could pay off whatever studio, right? If it was MGM who's got Ewan McGregor, or, for example, they could just say, okay, well, here's a check for whatever amount of money. you can have him back in 18 months from now.
You know, I wonder if it gets even, like, more complicated than that. I wonder if it's stuff like, you know the July blockbuster week? We won't do X-Men that week. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if it's just cash, or I wonder how much of negotiating is involved.
I'm sure it can be whatever they want it to be. I don't know if this is official news, but the rumor is, and it sounds pretty legit, that Marvel has the rights back to Fantastic Four.
Really?
And that, yeah, which is the best news.
Not really. That means we're going to have to see another reboot.
But Marvel will do it properly.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But I don't care.
The Marvel will kill it. Marvel will do it rightfully.
Maybe.
If they can introduce them in a way that, like, if they introduce them in, like, the Infinity War or something like that, that could work, you know?
No, I think they're kind of removed from all that. I think they're going to get their own separate sort of line of movies. But anyway, all that to say is that the way that Marvel got the rights back was by trading, quote unquote, trading the rights to two other of their properties to Fox.
Really?
Oh, it's escaping me now. I think Hellfire Club was one of them. And there was a second show, but it's two properties that Fox will develop for TV in exchange for Fantastic Four, which Marvel would produce for the big screen. So all this to say is that it can work any way the studios choose to do it, I suppose. But yeah, I think even in the easiest of scenarios, it's still probably incredibly complex with probably a dozen lawyers on each side working out the details.
Oh, for sure. But I'm pretty sure if anything was going to happen, Disney had probably already told them, you know, try and keep your schedule clear for like 2020.
Yeah, who knows? It seems clear to me that they want to do something, and now they're just...
You know, it could be too. I thought this when, as you were saying it, he was keen like crazy to say he was wanted to be in. Some people are just bad liars. Maybe he already knows he's in. You know what I mean? He just doesn't know how to deflect that, so he's... His comments have changed tone and sort of are misleading now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like they're at the point where, I think I said this before, where they know they want to do it. They just don't know what to do exactly and when to do it. And so until they figure that part out, let's just throw cold water on this whole thing.
That's it.
And just, you know, let it go underground for a while we get our ducks in a row. That's kind of the way I see it.
Yeah, definitely.
So are you guys ready to go into our random thought section, or anything else you want to say on that before we do?
Well, I think we should just bring up one quick thing. Well, there's two things with Tom Hardy being in Star Wars. I think that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tom Hardy is, everybody knows who Tom Hardy is. And the details of his cameo, his glorified cameo, are over at makingstarwars.net if you want to check it out. But it's nothing earth-shattering if you read it. You'd understand that it sounds like it's going to be a bit of a funny moment in the movie, but the implications of the exchange between Tom Hardy, who's reportedly playing a stormtrooper, in the same way that Daniel Craig did, the implications of his conversation with Finn are pretty revealing, I think.
Yeah.
But I won't spoil those here. If you want the details, head over to makingstarwars.net and check it out.
And also that the unveiling of that new 7-minute segment that's going to be on every Wednesday, the Star Wars show. I thought that was kind of a nice little surprise. It's kind of dropped on us last minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I forget the name of the dude who hosts it, but can't really forget Andy Gutierrez, who did Rebels Recon for the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
7 to 10 minutes of every week of Star Wars news. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it was fun. I watched it. It was good.
Yeah, absolutely. I've subscribed to their channel, and I'll be notified whenever their next episode drops. All right, guys. I worked hard on this one. It's sort of in honor of George Lucas' 72nd birthday. You guys ready for this one?
Yep.
Well, yep. Who else has a would you rather ready to go?
I do.
All right, good, good. We got some time here. But let's go with this one. This one will be tough. Or maybe it won't be. I don't know. In my mind, it's not that tough. But your mileage may vary. But would you rather swap John Williams with Hans Zimmer or swap George Lucas with, say, a guy like Jerry Bruckheimer?
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of like sacrilege almost.
Oh, it is sacrilege.
Is this a trick question? Could we choose not to answer?
I suppose you can choose not to answer.
Oh my good, that's awful. But you know what? I have to keep Lucas because I think his vision of Star Wars was strong enough that like he could just deal with shitty music. Whereas a different director wouldn't make the same Star Wars movie, even though Williams would do kick-ass music for whatever movie he made. So yeah, I would keep Lucas.
Yeah, that was the side of the fence I fell on. As much as I gush over John Williams and the music of Star Wars on this show, I would sooner have Hans Zimmer, who I don't hate. But yeah, you got to keep the vision and the soul of George Lucas at the center of Star Wars. Otherwise, it's not Star Wars, right?
That's it.
So in the end, I think the question is very simple. But on the surface, it's a tough, sacrilegious choice, as Corey said.
Yeah, I'm on.
You three, or would you do something different, Corey?
No, I'm on the same page as you guys. Although I was gonna say like Kyle kind of spelt it out a bit better, but had it been George Lucas's vision seen through the eyes of Bruckheimer, that you know could be interesting to see because you know some people would totally disagree and say, you know, John Williams makes the movie sometimes. You know, so many people have won Oscars because John Williams did their work.
Kevin, in that
Spielberg epic rap battle you just sent me.
That one's good. Let me change Bruckheimer then for you swap out Lucas for Tim Burton.
Oof.
No. Maybe for Empire.
Oof. So it would become John Williams with Hans Zimmer or Lucas with Tim Burton?
Correct.
I'm still keeping George.
Oh, for sure, even more so.
Even more so, no. Like, Tim Burton, I appreciate for what he does, but I wouldn't want him anywhere near Star Wars.
Oh, no.
Yikes. Who else makes it? Michael Bay.
I was going to say, he's... I said something earlier, Kyle, that you probably haven't watched yet, but after the show, you're going to watch it, and they make good fun of Bay.
A Michael Bay Star Wars movie. It'd be a hell of a spectacle, and your eardrums would be pounding.
There'd be a lot of Death Stars blowing up.
A lot of flags waving, a lot of Death Stars blowing up. Yeah, your eardrums would be pounding for days after. But yeah, no, that's a horrible one. Peter Jackson.
Ooh.
Which Peter Jackson? Peter Jackson circa 1998 or Peter Jackson circa shitty Hobbit movies?
You take the whole package, my friend. For some people, maybe they're having this debate because they're thinking, well, George Lucas of the 70s or George Lucas who did the prequels?
Yeah.
Mm. You got to take the whole package, the entire vision of that guy.
Yeah, still keep Lucas.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, you can't uproot Star Wars, right, from Lucas?
No.
Although maybe somebody has a good reason why they could do it. Maybe they can make the argument that the music of Star Wars, as done by John Williams, is arguably more important. I'd like to hear someone make that case. So anyway, who's got another would you rather? Corey, let's hear yours.
Well, mine's also kind of cool too because it follows off the last two questions of the last 2 weeks as well.
Perfect.
Okay, so we established, you know, we were out at the Outlander Club, I believe, I think was the unanimous decision. And we were chilling, and we chose who we were going to be having a pint with. And now, you guys are at this club, right? who would you rather see perform live? Max Rebo or Figure and Dan and the Modal Nodes?
Oh, Figure and Dan.
Really?
Yeah.
I totally went with Max Rebo. Droopy yeah, McCool, Cy Snoodles. Come on. It's a lot more funk.
Yeah, I'd have to, I gotta go with Corey on this one. I think that you'd get a lot more, you could listen for a lot longer and have more drinks.
Yeah, it'd be badass.
I, no.
Like the Parliament Funkadelic of GSSA.
No.
Go watch Jedi Special Edition again. Look at Joe Yauza. And then come back and give me the same answer.
Well, yeah, that's the special edition. That's the one with the lips, right?
That's the one with Sice Noodle's lips. That's the one with that little fuzzy Muppet CGI guy with the big mouth. You gotta go with what's canon. We can't pick and choose what we want. We gotta go with the canon versions here.
Okay, so that's part one. All right, so that was the opening act. Now, if you could choose your own GFFA super group, who would it be? I'm gonna name mine off quick. I'm gonna have Chewie on drums, Han on rhythm guitar, Boba on keyboard, Finn on bass, Poe as the lead singer, Leia and Rey on backup vocals.
Oh man, it's.
Well, when's your band from? Like 1967?
No, they're it's a long time ago.
If that's a kick-ass band, I would go see that band.
For sure.
We just had so many members, like the Partridge Family. what are you gonna go with, Kyle? I gotta think about mine. So.
I think we kind of need to go about this as a committee. I think for us all to go and select our band is a daunting task here.
I kind of felt bad leaving Luke out, but you know, I said Poe. I think Poe would be a good front man.
Well, if Luke's in, it's an emo band, and I know.
But who agreed? Chewie on drums, total animal style.
You could play bass too. You could have said bass, and I would have been okay with that too.
Yeah, I kind of stereotyped and put Finn on bass.
Why? Jesus. Why? Because he was a bad guy?
No, he's just smooth.
Because if stormtroopers can't shoot, that means that he sort of lacks talent. He should be a drummer, no?
Wow, dude, ripping on this drummer.
What do you call a guy who hangs out with musicians?
Oh no,
a drummer.
Oh no. Oh Jesus, that's rough. I think we can. Yes, I'm okay with Chewie on drums.
Oh, what? You put your man on drums? Shame.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with
no,
that.
No, but you're right. He fits. He's got the right look.
He's got the look for a drummer.
So you'd be replacing that kid all the time.
Okay, let's go now to bass. I'm gonna. Wow, bass players. I'm gonna pick.
I got it. I know who it is. They're always like the cool, like quiet. It's Boba Fett.
Yeah, I like that. I like Boba Fett on bass.
I was thinking Boba on bass as well, but I kind of went the other direction. I saw him all pumped up doing keyboard, like just coming out of his shell a bit, you know? But yeah, I can agree with you guys. Let's go. Let's put him on bass.
Do you think we could put Mace Windu on rhythm guitar?
Oh, the guy would have licks for sure. Or Yoda.
You know, there's like a Fender Juniors and little Gibson Junior SGs. Are those small enough for Yoda?
Probably.
I see Yoda playing some kind of percussion wind instrument.
Flute. The chimes.
Cowbell. Yeah.
Do we need a sax player? Any type of wind instruments here?
It is a super group. Why not?
Yeah, sax would be good. Who got on sax? Ray?
I could see Ray belting out some beats. She's so passionate, though. She could do anything.
Yeah, Ray could do anything.
I could almost see Poe Dameron on sax.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too.
Yeah, I can see that. I like that call. Let's put Poe on sax.
And I'm putting Lando on piano.
I like that.
or keyboard. Take your pick.
Keyboard. It's an 80s supergroup.
Yeah.
Are we missing a lead guitarist now?
We are.
Guitarist and a frontman.
Or woman.
Yeah.
See, I'm not putting Han Solo in this group.
Because he's dead?
No, I don't think he'd care enough to be in it. I think he'd rather be in the crowd getting liquored up rather than...
He's the manager for sure. He's like screwing everybody over and like pocketing half the cash.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Who do you think could really shred in the Star Wars galaxy on guitar? Kit Fisto.
Dude, I was just thinking the same thing.
And Jamesy, I think you were saying Darth Maul.
I was.
Yeah, that's an aggressive band.
Just because if it's Darth Maul, then he's got like a double. His guitar has like two acts.
He's got one of those like double neck 12 string.
Exactly, two necks.
He's got a saber guitar.
Yeah, I think Darth Maul might be next level stuff. I think he gets bored of this band very quickly though. It's just not challenging enough for him.
He's gonna be the root cause of their breakup.
He's the what's his name? Liam. Who's a British idiot?
The guy from Oasis?
Oasis, yeah.
I was one of the Gallagher guys. I'm not sure which one's the idiot, which one's the normal one. Or maybe they're both idiots.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I think we get more listeners from the UK than we do from Canada, so somebody over there
can get it up to speed. Liam's the idiot!
I feel like, I'm not an Oasis fan, so I don't know, but I feel like if you insult the wrong one, you could be in some trouble.
Well, I'm only meaning to call the idiot an idiot. The other one I like enough to not know who's who.
Nah, I don't like either guy, so whatever. Are we done with this group?
We need a singer.
Yeah, we have no one on vocals. If it's like a rage metal band, then we could have Chewie singing too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we never really defined the genre, did we?
No.
We're kind of all over the map with, like, Lando on piano and Darth Maul shredding.
Who was your original choice for guitar? I like that one better.
Kit Fisto.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can keep that.
So we had Kit Fisto on lead and Mace Windu on rhythm guitar. All right, that's fine. All right, let's pick a singer and be done with this here. I'm going to... think about this for a sec and go with. There's not enough ladies in Star Wars. I like a lady rock singer.
I like Florence and the Machine.
Yeah, like she can really belt it out, right?
Heart.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have that in Star Wars. I don't know if Leia, Padme,
young
Leia, singers.
Young Leia was pretty passionate.
I could see Rey belting it out.
But she's doing something already. Isn't she?
Yes, I think we got her on sax.
Yeah, sorry. If she can sing and do sax, that's a hell of a thing.
My original choice was Poe. Wait, frontman.
I want to go back to Kyle's last statement. How is she playing the sax while she's singing? Continue. Go on. I want to hear more.
No, you know what? I like what Corey just said. I think Poe's our frontman here.
Yeah, he said it is original, too, and it's a good call.
Yeah, no, Poe's the front guy.
He'll sell tickets. He'll put butts in the seats.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's our rambly supergroup. All right, James, what do you got?
All right, so hamburgers, yes, and hot dogs never, or hot dogs, yes, and hamburgers never, forever.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, but that's a pretty easy one for me.
I had a hard time with this.
Man.
Just come up on us, so this conversation's come up, and I had a hard time. Well, if it's easy for you, Corey, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I love a good dog and all that, but, you know, I gotta get burger fried. I love burgerfication.
I can't disagree.
With the burger. God, I love a good hamburger. My mom made some last night. I went to go see my folks, and there's nothing like a good mama burger. You know, when you're a kid, you're like... kind of borrow from Eddie Murphy here, but as a kid I was like, oh man, Now I'm just like, oh god, that was so good. Like, give me some, take me some home. And I make a pretty mean burger as well.
Yeah, I make sliders. I love sliders.
Yeah. Switch it up. Get some jalapeno.
Or like, I don't know. There's a few times when a good steamy all dressed.
Of course. Don't get me wrong. A piece of me would be gone forever. But yeah. Sayonara, though, if I had to choose. I love me my burgers.
I gotta tell you guys, I'm struggling. This is,
Yes.
Well, think about it this way. Let's say you decided, James, you're gonna go on your dream trip across North America and you were gonna hit all 32 MLB baseball stadiums.
Ballparks, that's what I was thinking. That's the hardest part about the dog choice is ballparks.
You can't have a hot dog at any one of those ballparks. You're out. You gotta go and...
You're out. Three strikes as soon as you walk in the door.
Like, imagine going to Chicago. Not even going to Wrigley or anything. You're just taking a trip to Chicago, and you can't have a Chicago hot dog.
Nope. Coney Island. No hot dog.
No hot dog. That's rough, man.
It's rough.
God,
Roll the mincemeat into a cylinder, Christ.
No, you can't. Come on, there's no... You gotta play these games straight up here. No loopholes. You know, I want to go burger. I gotta go burger. I can't turn my back on a burger.
Three burgers. It was a hard fought battle, but the burger went out on all three of us.
Yeah, so, a piece of us will all be on forever.
That's the hot dog. You know what though? It's these. If you think about it, none of us use this in our reasoning. But what they're made of, and ground beef isn't miles above. It's not the best meat you can buy in the world. But compared to what they put in most hot dogs, we made probably a smart choice too.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to avoid that. I always kind of blocked that out. There's nothing like a good steamy.
Oh no, they're just too delicious.
Lots of onions.
Oh, for those people who aren't from our area, steamy means a steamed hot dog. With a steamed soggy bun and coleslaw.
A very humid and warm bun. It just sits there in the steam bath for a while.
Yeah, I avoid the coleslaw, though. It makes it too...
Delicious? Yeah.
Yeah. I cut back on the delicious there by leaving the coleslaw out.
No. Onions, baby.
Onions. That too, yeah. Bring it on. Look at us. We're not talking about hamburgers. We're all sad that we're all sort of feeling guilty about the hot dog.
Yeah. It's a sad goodbye.
Good questions. Good questions, guys.
Not too shabby. I'm impressed. Those were tough. So, any final thoughts, guys? Anything left you want to share with the listeners?
It's better to let them think we're foolish than to open our mouths and prove them right.
Sure. They already knew that. This is what, episode 24 now?
Right. True.
They've already figured that out. 24 is my lucky number, so let's hope this whole thing turns out pretty well. All right, I think we're done here, guys.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah,
good times.
Those are some good questions. I love these random thoughts.
Yeah, keep them coming. If anybody out there has got a would you rather you want us to tackle, send it on over to us. Send it to me at Kyle@TumblingSaber. Or you could just tweet it over to us, at Tumbling Saber, or at Chop Rules. You drop it on our Facebook page. Anyway, it's 2016, and everybody's got their fingers in every social media pie, except for James, who is nowhere to be found.
No, my fingers are pie-free.
Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to episode 24 of the show. Again, if you're in the Montreal area and you want to get in to see tickets or to get tickets for the OVMF show coming up soon in early June, head over to iTunes, drop us a review, and let me know you did that, and you're in. You're in for the contest. We're doing the draw for that on the May 30th show, so stay tuned. And my thanks to Corey and James. Guys, good show once again, and we'll be back, a week from now.
Always fun.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Can't wait.
And my thanks over to Mark at Talk Star Wars, another fabulous Star Wars podcast that you should be listening to. I was heading to bed last night, early in the wee hours, and I just before I turned off the laptop, I got an email from Mark, and so we started chatting back and forth. And I don't remember that conversation now. As I told Mark, the wine may have had something to do with that. And I wasn't feeling so hot today, but it was in replying to Mark's email that the fog finally lifted out of my brain, and my day started to go my way. So thanks to Mark for salvaging Sunday and hopefully making me a little more coherent than I would have been, which would have been a scary thought. So cheers to them, cheers to Mark and the crew at Talk Star Wars. Go check them out. Yeah, we'll see you guys later.
Watching you walking away from me.